Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz get blown out by the Indiana Pacers, who were without Victor Oladipo. The fifth game of the trip, another disappointing one. How bad a situation is it? Is there something to be concerned about? And where, oh, where is the defense gone? Those are the questions I have for the hatted man next to me on Postcast. Today's edition of Postcast brought to you by the store, 6200 South, 20th East. All your holiday shopping needs can be taken care of at the store at 6200 South, 20th East, with a new store coming to the Gateway. All right, Ron, this one's a defensive loss. They do not defend against an average 19th in the league offensive team. Now, let's get a little understanding of who the Pacers are. When they play offense after a made shot, they're 22nd in the league offensively. When they play after a missed shot, they're 17th. And when they play after a turnover, they're 4th. The Jazz turned it over 8 times in the first quarter, and Indiana's offense got rolling and got confident and never stopped. So, is that what happened tonight? Or is the fact that this is, I believe, the 7th time this year that the Jazz have had a defensive rating 10 points higher than league average a really, really concerning thing?
I definitely think it is. And the reason I say that is because where's the Jazz offense? You know, last year we were in the middle of the pack, 15th or 16th? But the defensive rating, as you mentioned, was like 3rd in the league, which gave them a chance to win basketball games, and which, well, for the most part, you can have a winning record with that type of an effort. But if you're going to be in the middle of the pack here in offense and defense, you know, you're going to struggle from night to night. You have your great shooting nights and end up winning games because even though your defense is not that good. But defense has to shore up and get better. The problem is, where are opponents scoring? Are they getting to the rim? Are they beating us at the three-point line? I mean, what's going on there to the point where the Jazz can look and say that this is our problem and we got to correct it?
The Jazz really have been beat in a large part in the mid-range this year. Kind of unnatural good shooting in the mid-range has led to teams having big games, and that, you know, you kind of look at that mathematically and you say, all right, well, that should go away. Tonight, that's not the case. According to Cleaning the Glass, the Pacers took 36 shots at the rim. They also got fouled on 6 shots. Their mid-range shooting, sorry, I got to check this, was only 4 of 32. 32 is a tremendous amount of mid-range shots, but they only made 14 of 32, so that's right around 40% with the league average. But they hit 11 of 23s, 12 of 24 overall. They got out and ran, and those 36 shots are because they got out and ran off turnovers.
Are we a better on-ball defending team this year than we were last year?
It doesn't feel like it, does it?
It does not feel like it. It seems like we are, like, behind. It seems like we are struggling going off picks. We're not going underneath screens that much anymore. I mean, I know in transition they wanted to go underneath screens here against this team tonight. But for the most part, we were trailing over the top of screens, and we're getting into it. Our defense is getting to the point where we're scrambling. And I don't know. I mean, it's something that the coaching staff will have to look at, and we're going to have to get better at it because our offense is not going to be the best in the league.
Well, no, and I think here's a great way to say it. So at the end of tonight, I think we'll rank about 17th offensively and about 12th to 13th defensively. Which of those has a chance to go in the top five? Only the defense. The offense is not going to become a top five offense.
Only the defense. And I know we're really criticizing and talking about our defense real bad. That's something that needs to get better. But I'd like to see how strong we are when we are not on the road as much. I mean, road is tiring. I mean, this has been brutal. And you know, heck, we're tired. You know, so you know what players are like when they're practicing and they're going to shoot arounds and they're constantly running. I mean, there's a lot more than just the basketball game that they've played that gets into being, you know, the type of player that they are.
No one's evaluating us, and we're not having anybody try to dunk on us. And if someone was trying to dunk on me tonight, I probably would have let it happen. I mean, if I actually go through my prep, I got my regular prep done last night that I always do. And then when it was time to prep today, I just didn't have it. Like, I didn't have the juice. And there's points in this when you're on the road in this league. It sounds stupid. It's the only experience I can share. I can't tell you what it's like to be a player where you decide, okay, I've got 3 hours of energy today. I'm going to use it in the broadcast, hopefully a lot of days. Before Boston, frankly, I prepped a great deal. I had 7 to 8 to 10 hours of energy. I was ready to go. So there is something to just the amount of, you know, moving from one city to the other and all these silly things that we go through. And maybe tonight is a fatigue issue. And to your point, Ron, you know, I probably can pull it up a little bit and I'll just move our camera and then I'll pull it up. The poor defensive nights this year, it's weird because you can actually find almost an explanation. So the first bad defensive night is the Warriors. Okay, well, that makes sense. The second bad defensive night is Derrick Rose. Okay, that happens. The third bad defensive night was at home against Memphis in a loss. Donovan doesn't play. The offense is, or maybe that's the one, I don't think Donovan played, yeah, because it's coming out of Minnesota. Donovan has a hamstring. Donovan doesn't play. If the offense doesn't make shots, it's pretty hard to defend. Your next bad defensive game was against the Raptors. Donovan doesn't play again. So you chalk it up to say, like, okay, well, again, same situation. We weren't great defensively in the win over Boston, but you won. And then we're putrid defensively against Dallas, so there wasn't really a very good explanation to why that happened. And I guess, you know, we weren't great defensively against Philadelphia by the end of the night in the way they scored in the fourth quarter. And so then you add this one, and my concern is that, you know, okay, they're all explainable to some extent, but it keeps happening. At which point it's no longer an exception because of some weird circumstance becoming too much of the norm.
And I don't think our defense can carry, I mean, our offense can carry us when we are struggling like that on the defensive side of the ball. The Jazz offense is awfully good when they get the defense scrambling because they do move the ball well. They penetrate, they have the dribble handoffs, all of that kind of stuff that gets them good open looks. I thought that the Pacers did a great job here tonight as well of blowing some of that up. I mean, they were very aggressive early. They got the Jazz into the paint. As you mentioned during the broadcast, when you got in there was like three guys there waiting on you. And they came up with some steals, or Donovan gets up in the air with nowhere to go. Rubio did the same thing. Heck, even Joe Ingles got up there as well. And it makes it awfully difficult to win. Our offense is not as dominant without that type of off-ball movement, without getting teamed into the scramble, like some other teams are, where they can beat you off the dribble, like we saw tonight. We saw a little bit of that tonight.
Ricky Rubio was fabulous tonight. He hit his season-high threes, one short of his career-high threes. He had 28 points, equaling his season-high tonight. He was just terrific. Hopefully that gets him going. 10 of 13, 5 of 6 and 3. Both Joe and Donovan looked like they were on empty. Joe particularly had an open three on the left side that just hit the bottom of the iron, and the coaches were like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And Donovan, frankly, has struggled against teams that play of this style. I don't think he's quite understanding yet of when to go to the basket and try to get the layup and when to pull back and pull the mid-range or when to find the cross-court. Those reads, I think, are still something he's learning. But I would say he didn't look like he had his juice. And when two of your primary offensive guys don't have their juice, it's probably a little bit of a hard night. Anything you want to add?
Not much more to add, David. It's just this is the end of an 8-day road trip, and I know that we're just going home to change clothes.
Right.
And we're out again, but this is nothing new. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. We have to survive the first 6 weeks of the season. I think the Jazz have done a pretty good job. They're 8-9 right now, which is, I think, is pretty good considering the fact that you know, we're on the road quite a bit. Not done.
No,
we
got a long way to go. I mean, that's the concern, is we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
If we can be hovering around 500 mid-December, December 20th, I think, was our
21st. Yeah.
21st, our 20th road game of the year, that would be great if we can still be hovering around that. Quickly, we saw three of the best Eastern Conference teams, Boston, Philadelphia, and Indiana. Who do you think was the best team?
I think Indiana probably gave us the worst. I mean, gave us the toughest problems.
They didn't have Victor.
Yeah, and they didn't have Victor.
I didn't think Philadelphia and Boston looked good.
I don't think Boston's defense is as good as
Indiana's. Interesting.
Yeah, Indiana's, yeah.
Boston, I think, just lost to Charlotte tonight. So it'll be interesting. Yep, 117-112 they lost tonight. So interesting. They're 9-7, and they've lost a lot in a row. All right, that wraps us up. Talk to you soon.